Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Tainis Daf Yud Dalet. We begin about 10-12 lines down from the top, about 4 lines up from the two dots on Yud Dalet Amud Aleph with the words, Mai Havi Allah. The Gemara is asking the question, what is the halacha in regards to the question of when do you put Aneinu in the Shmoneh Esrei? When a person is having his private Aneinu for a private Tainis, so where does he insert the Tefillah of Aneinu in separate bracha or in the bracha of Shomea Tefillah? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Shmuel bar Sas Ritoi. This Amora says, and also V'chein Amar Rav Chia bar Ashi Amar Rav. Likewise, Rav Chia bar Ashi says in the name of Rav that the proper place to do this is a separate bracha, Bein Goel Rofa. Even though you're saying it as a private individual in your private Shmoneh Esrei, you make a separate bracha, just like we do with the Chazan. He makes a separate bracha between Goel Yisrael and Refu'enu. So too, according to these Amorayim, there's a private individual make a separate bracha. On the other hand, Rav Ashi, Omar Mishmeid Rabbi Yanai Bered Rabbi Shmuel, he says, no, you do not make a separate bracha, but you insert it like we do, Bishomea Tvila, and Hilchos Sodei Gemara says, Bishomea Tvila, and that is the halacha l'maisa, when a person says in his private Shmoneh Esrei, whether it's his own personal tainis, and even if it's a tainis tibur, so we say Aneinu in Shomea Tvila, not as a separate bracha, only in the Chazaras HaShatz is it a separate bracha. Continues, says Tony Chodlin, one Brisa tells us that Ubaros, a pregnant woman, Umenikos, a nursing mother. Nursing mothers is usually considered even up to 24 months after the baby is born that they're considered nursing mothers. So these pregnant women or nursing mothers, Misanos Barishonos. The first Brisa, we'll have three Brises. This first Brisa tells us that they have to fast Barishonos. We'll see what that means in a moment on the first series of fasts. Now, here we're talking about the Tanis Sibur, so we had the first series of three fasts. After the Yechidim fasted, then we had the second series of three fasts, which are a little bit stricter, and then we had the final third series, which is seven fasts, which are much stricter. So this first brisa tells us that the Ubaros and Menikos, they fast Barishonos, Ve'ein Misan and Bachronos. They fast on the first ones, we'll define that in a moment, but they don't fast on the latter ones, the Achronos. Another brisa says the opposite, V'tani Yidach, Misanos Bachronos, they only fast on the latter ones, Ve'ein Misanos Barishonos, but they don't fast on the first ones. And we'll have to define what first and last means in a moment. Then we have a third brisa, V'tani Yidach, says, Ein Misanos, Lo Barishonos, Lo Bachronos. They don't fast neither the first ones or the last ones. So how do you reconcile all three? That's the way our Gemara with our Girsa is now going to be answering. On Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi says, in order to answer all three, they're not contradicting each other. Nakot emtsio isa biyodech. Understand this as always referring to the middle series of fasts, the emtsiosa, that middle section of the three fasts, not the first three, not the last seven, but always refers your baseline to the middle three fasts, and in that way, the mitardsun kulu. And this way, you'll be able to explain all three of these prices as not being contradictory. This is the way Rashi and Tosus understand this, which I'll now explain a little bit further, based upon the gear that we have, the mitartsun kulu, that all of them are able to be answered this way. So now let's go back and look at the first brisa and understand it with the middle three fasts, the middle series of three fasts, the second set being the base. So therefore, the first brisa says, misanos rishonos, that means the second series of fasts, those three fasts in the middle, that's called Rishonos, compared to the Achronos, which are the last seven fasts. And therefore, according to the first Brisa, it means that the women who are pregnant or nursing must fast on the second series of fasts, the three fasts in the middle. However, they miss Hanas Bachronos, but they don't fast on the last seven. Rashi says the last seven is too much for them, and therefore the pregnant women and the nursing women aren't asked to fast seven fasts. So again, the first Brisa says, yes, fasting on the middle three, but not fasting on the last series of seven fasts. Second Brisa doesn't disagree with that. It now says the same thing from a different perspective. The Tanya Yidach, the second Brisa says, Misanos Bachronos, Achronos is compared to the first. So Achronos here means the middle. They do fast on the middle ones. However, they ain't Misanos Barishonos, but they don't fast on the first three. Rashi explains that the first three aren't that important because it's not yet so severe a famine. So we don't make the pregnant, the nursing women go and fast on the first three. But the Achronos here refers to the second three. So the first Brisa and the second Brisa are in full agreement. The women who are pregnant and nursing do have to fast on the second series, the three fasts in the middle, but they don't fast on either the first or the last three. And that's exactly what the third Brisa says. V'tanya Yidach says, Ein Misanos Lo Barishonos Lo Bachronos, literally the first or the last. But implication being, in the middle ones, they do fast. So therefore, all three Brises, the way Rav Ashi understands it, the way Rashi and Tosus understand it with our Girsa, can be answered, the Mitartsun Kulu, by explaining it the way that we just did. The Rambam has a different Girsa here. And in fact, the Ksiv Yad has that same girsa, that we don't have the girsa of the mitartsun kulu, that those words are left out. And therefore, if you leave that out, so the Rambam understands it's nekot emtsios bidach. The middle brisa is the correct one, and that is misanos bachronos, ve misanos barishonos. The only fast on the last series of fast, but not on the earlier series. Again, that's a different girsa. That's why the Rambam explains it differently than Rashi and Tosos over here. Now we go and quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Ma'ilu Yiseros al Rishonos, the final seven fasts, the last series of fasts, the seven fasts, are even stricter. They have Yiseros, they have additional restrictions compared to the earlier fasts, the second set of fasts, and certainly the first set of fasts. In what way? Elo Shebe'elu Masriyin, number one, that in the last series of seven fasts, we are Masriyin, which we said we would eventually explain, and now to the point we're going to explain what it means to cry out. And in addition, V'noa Linus Achanuyos, and you keep the stores closed. Now, Bamai Masriyin, the Gemara says, what does it mean that they're Masriyin? So Rabbi Yehuda Amar B'shofers, it means that they blow shofers. Shofers, Lav Davka means a shofar, could mean a trumpet as well. And Rabbi Yehuda Berei Rav Shmuel Bar Shelas says, Mishmei Derav, that he says, Amar Ba'anenu. He says that they say Anenu. In other words, they add a tefillah called Anenu. Now, this is not the Anenu that we've been talking about till now. This Anenu, as Rashi points out, is a tefillah that we say in the Slichos. Anenu, Avinu, Anenu, Anenu, Elkei Avraham, Anenu, Elkei Yitzchak, Anenu, Anenu, Elkei Yaakov, Anenu. So this tefillah is also known as Anenu. It's not the Anenu that we say in the Shmoneh Esrei by Etanis. So these are the two possible explanations of what it means, Shebe'elu Masriyin. Either we blow a shofar or a trumpet, or that we say this extra tefillah called Anenu. Now, the Gemara assumes right now, Kosolka Daitan, that Man Diyama Ba'anenu Lo Mar B'Shofros, that the second opinion that was from Yehuda Brady Rav Shmuel Bar Shelas Mishmei Derav, that they just said Anenu, and they didn't blow shofar, and Man Diyama B'Shofros, in the first opinion of Yehuda, that they blow shofar, implied Lo Amar Anenu, that they didn't say Anenu. They did one and not the other. They did, again, either they blew shofar, or they said this extra tefillah called Anenu. Eidemar says, for Tanya, but we learned in another brisa, Ein pochasin misheva tanios ala tzibor. During this last series, we don't do less than seven fasts. And in these seven fasts, we say the extra six brachos of the Shemoneh Esrei, Shebehen Yudches Hasros, and we have 18 blasts over here, Hasros, the Simin Ladovar, Yericho. And how do we know that these are blasts on a shofar or a trumpet? That this is based upon this mnemonic telling us that this is like Yericho. Yericho, they circled the city every day, and on the seventh day, they blew the shofar, and the walls came tumbling down. So therefore, this is a Simin that this was blast of a shofar. So here it clearly says that the Masriyin is blowing the shofar. So how can you suggest that it means that they're not blowing the shofar? Now, by the way, the Vilna Gaon has the gears over here. You can see in Agos Hagra that it really is that they blew 21 times, because 18 was three tekiah, trua tekiah, for each of the extra brachos in the Shemoneh Esrei, the six extra brachos in the Shemoneh Esrei, but they also blew after the bracha of Goel Yisrael. So therefore, there actually were seven brachos that they blew, and therefore it's actually 21 blasts that they blew. So the 18 means 18 besides the 3. So that's why he has the girsa for 21 blasts. But in any event, clearly you see that they blew shofar. So the Gemara says, V'yericho, shofar's haba, the whole nace of Yericho, that the walls came tumbling down, was because they blew the shofar. They circled the city and blew the shofar. So obviously, tiufta, laman di omar, this is a tiufta to the opinion of Rav Yehuda, Berei, the Rav Shmuel, Bar Shelas, Mishmei, the Rav, that says it was only Anenu. Clearly, they blew shofar. So therefore, Tiyufta, Laman, the Omer, Banenu. So the Gemara says, no, you're right. That Kosol Kedayata that we had, that the one who said Anenu said not shofar, the one who said shofar said not Anenu, no, that's incorrect. Elo, the Kule, Alma, everybody agrees. Even Rav Yehuda, Berei, the Rav Shmuel, Bar Shelas, Mishmei, the Rav, agrees that, in fact, there is no argument here. Lo pligi, the Korah law hasra, that everybody agrees that blowing shofar is hasra. Nobody doubts that. So the way Rashi understands this is that they clearly blew shofar on these tanesim. Then what are they arguing about? Ki pligi ba'anenu. Could you blow anenu in regards to other types of non-rain requiring tanesim? So ba'anenu, that's the question. In those situations, would it be adequate to blow shofar or anenu? Mar sovar, the opinion of Rav Yehuda Brei de Rav Shmuel bar Shelas Mishmei de Rav is Mar sovar kori lo hasra, that anenu is also called hasra. Umar sovar, the opinion of Yehuda said bishofar says lo kori lo hasra, that anenu is not called hasra. So they're arguing, that's why Rashi understands this, that they're arguing over here for the other types of fast days that were brought on Klai Yisrael because of other tzaros that came. But in regards to Gishamim, everybody agrees that they blew shofar. So, Gemara says, Laman d'Yomar b'Aneinu, according to the opinion of Yehuda, Rei, the Rav Shmuel bar Shelas, Mishmei de Rav, that they say Aneinu, so you can say Aneinu, but of course you can blow shofar, because you can't be shofaros. Shofar is always fine, but if you didn't have a shofar, then you could say Aneinu. Well, Laman d'Yomar b'Shofaros, the opinion of Yehuda says you must do b'Shofaros, says b'Aneinu lo, avol b'Aneinu lo. It would not be adequate to just say Aneinu, you must blow shofar. Gemara says, Vatanya. Now, the Girsa that we have is just Vatanya. But in the Ksiv Yad, it brings down, Vanenu, mi kori le hasra. Do we, in fact, call the saying of Vanenu hasra? Vatanya. And now we ask our question. It says in this Braisa, in Baba Kama, Ushar komine parenyos, hamisrak shol slovo, all the other types of dangers, or tzoros that could come on Klai Yisrael, separate from the lack of rain. What are some examples? Kigon chichok. Rashi's are out of order over here. Rashi says chichok is quote nischachek bekotzel. You're scratching against the wall because you're suffering from some illness. So it's very painful and you're scratching against the wall. So if these types of plagues come, of chichok or chogov, others have the gears of gubai, some locust or arbe, or zvuv, the insects come, certain flies come. Next one is the tzira, that's wasps, yetushin, those are insects like mosquitoes. So all of these, they're bad, but they're not horrible. Or v'shiluach nechoshim v'akrab, or if you have a plague of snakes and scorpions. So then, all of these aren't as dangerous, and therefore, for these types of calamities that are befalling Klai Yisrael, lohi masriin, they wouldn't be masriin. Ella, what would they do? They would be tzoakin, they would just call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for rachmanus. So now the Gemara says, look at that brisa. It says you can be tzoakin for these types of things. The implication is that it's not called tzoakin if you're masrin. Tzo'aka bapeh, tzo'aka implies that they would daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that implies that hasra is not bapeh, hasra is b'shofar, so either with a shofar or with a trumpet. And therefore, this is again a kasha on what we just said, the opinion of Rav Yehuda, Brei de Rav Shmuel, Bar Shelas, Mishmei de Rav. How can you tell me that hasra could be called anenu here from this brais and bava kama? It clearly is not. So how would he answer? So Gemara says, Tanoi. We'd have to say that this is the machlokes Tanoim. Some Tanoim say that Anenu, the special Anenu that we say, Anenu, Avinu, Anenu, Anenu, Kavram, Anenu, so that's also called Hasra, and the Tan of this Brisa that we just brought down would not call it Hasra. And where do we see another Brisa that does call it Hasra? The Tanya. Now this is actually a Mishnah. It should say on the side, it should be the Tanan. This is a Mishnah that we'll learn in the next parak. And it says in that Mishnah, Al Elu Masriim B'Shabbos, the following calamities that come on Klai Yisrael, you'd even be allowed to be Masriya on them on Shabbos. For example, Al Ir Sheikufu Agais, if a city is being attacked by a marauding band of enemy armies, so you're allowed to be Masriya on Shabbos for that. Onar, if a river is flooding the city and you need people to come and bring sandbags and help to prevent the flooding and killing of people. Or V'Asfino HaMetorefes Bayam. Rashi points out that Metorefes is like a scrambled egg. So it means the boat is being scrambled by the ocean. It's being tossed and up and down in the ocean. It looks like it's going to go sink. So you're allowed to call out for help in these situations. So the Mishnah tells us, Masriim Shabbos, you're even allowed to be Masriim, you can be Tokeya, you can go and blow the shofar for them on Shabbos. And along comes Rav Yosef, Yosef Meir. No, you're only allowed to do this Li Ezra. You're only allowed to be Masriya to go and gather people to go and help. So for physical help, to blow an alarm, to blow a noise, to make people come and gather to help, that you're allowed to do. Avalolitzaka. But you wouldn't be allowed to do this just to call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Tefillah. That wouldn't be allowed on Shabbos. So now the Gemara says, B'mai, what are we talking about? Ilema b'shofros, if we're talking about with a shofar, shofros b'shabbos mishari, would you be allowed to blow shofar on Shabbos? You wouldn't be allowed to do so. We had said previously when we learned the word Rosh Hashanah that this is a chachma and it's prohibited on Shabbos. So obviously it's not talking about shofars in this brisa. It's not talking about pikuach nefashos. Pikuach nefashos can do anything, but it's talking about shofros. Just to blow them on Shabbos would not be allowed. Elo, doesn't it mean ba'aneinu v'kori lehasra? So it said, the Rav Yossi holds, you're only allowed to do this liazara, to get help. However, lo litzaka, but not to daven. So you see that it uses this lashon of hasra, according to Rav Yossi, even for aneinu. So therefore, elo lav b'aneinu v'kori lehasra. Shmamina. So therefore, you see over here that, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, the Tana Rabbi Yossi, Hasra could even include Aneinu, and that's who the opinion of Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Rav Shmuel, Bar Shelis, Mishmei de Rab, holds like. And the other Tanaic opinion that we brought down, that would be like the opinion of Rab Yehuda. Mark continues and says, Mishnei de Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and in his lifetime, Havitzara, there was a Tsar on Klai Yisrael. Rashi and Tosfos both point out that this was not a famine, this was not a drought that they had. It was some other tsar. When we turn to Yudalad Amud Beis, so, and he was Gozer, Gozer, Tlasisre Tanyos, he was Gozer, this series of 13 Tanesim, the three, then the three, and then the seven. Below Yani, and Nebuch, the tsar was still present, and it wasn't relieved. Sorah, Lemigzar Tvei, he said, let me go be Gozer, additional Tanesim on the Tzibor. So Amalei Ravami, Ravami told him that's not a good idea. Hari Amru, we already have learned that Chazal tell us, Ein Matrichin Es HaTzibur Yosemidai, it's not a good idea to go be Matriach the Tzibur more than is absolutely necessary. And here, if after 13 fasts we weren't answered, a 14th fast isn't going to do it, and that would be called too much of a Tircha the Tzibura. Would be Matrichin the Tzibur, bothering the Tzibur too much, it's just not going to be effective. If 13 didn't do it, so then 14 is not going to make any difference. That's what Rav Ami told Rav Yehuda Nasiya. Rav Abba, Bered Rav Chiya Bar Abba. Rabbi Abba, who was the son of Rav Chiya Bar Abba, he was named after his grandfather, he said, Rav Ami, that which Rav Ami did and said, don't bother doing a 14th fast, it's not going to do any good. He only did that, the Ovid, Ligarmehu the Ovid. He did it for his own personal reasons. As Rashi points out over here, Liatzmo Dorash, he said, don't have any more fasts. Shoamar Elapi, Lafi, Shulahi wrote, so listen, he didn't want to fast anymore. He said, 13's enough, that's it. I don't want to fast anymore. So Rabbi Abba said that Rav Ami was personalizing this to say, no more fasting, enough fasting, but not because that's the din. Now there's only one problem with this. Rav Ami brought down a statement from Chazal, Hari Amru, Ein Matrich Nesiba, Yosemi Dai. So why wasn't Rav Ami right? So Gemara says, Elo, Hochi Amar Rav Chiya Bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan. This is what that statement was. Lo Shanu Elo L'Gishamim. That statement that Rav Ami brought down that said, Ein Matrich Nesasiba, Yosemi Dai, that was only in regards to Gishamim, when there's a lack of rain. So after 13 fasts, don't do it. So then don't bother with more fasts. But why? Because, as we'll point out in a moment, because it's too late in the year. If by that time the rains haven't come, it's unfortunately too late. Even if you'd fast and then the rains did come, it would be a klal. It would be no good at that point in time. Avul l'sharmine poronius, for other types of disasters on Kaiso, some other calamity, well, it's still present, and that calamity could be averted. It's not too late to avert it. With the rain, it's too late. But with these other calamities, it's not too late, and therefore, mis'anin b'holchin, atshayonu min hashamayim. Then you can continue having fasts. And therefore, in this situation, Rav Yehuda Nasi was goes with a tainus for some other tzara on Klal Yisrael. In fact, Rav Ami was wrong. Rav Abba Bered, the Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba said, in fact, they should continue to declare fasts on the tzibur, mis'anin b'holchin, keep on having fasts, atshayonu min hashamayim. Matol HaKosh Baruch Hu, hopefully, be'ezus Hashem, decides to answer us in a positive way. And this isn't only the Amoraic statement of Rabbi Abba, but Tani Nami Hochi. This is also based upon the following brisa. Kishamru Shalosh, where the rabbi said, we'll have a series of three fasts, and then we'll have another series of three fasts. Ukishamru Shev, and then they said, we'll have a series of seven fasts. They only said that, Lo Amru, this limitation of three, three, and then seven, Lo Amru L'Gishamim, the brisa says, that's only for a calamity of lack of rain. Aval L'Shamrin Eparoni, so other types of calamities, other types of troubles on Klai Yisrael, Misanin v'holchen, you keep on declaring additional fasts, Achiyanu, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Achiyanu min HaShemayim, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers them. So Gemara says, this is such a good raya, why don't we say, Leim Otev Tiyufta the Rav Ami? Why do we not say, not that Rav Ami is wrong, but we should say this is a Tiyufta, he's being disproven by a Braisa. So Gemara says, because Rav Ami would respond, Omelech Rav Ami, Tanoi, no, I also have a Tana on my side. So yes, you can show me that your Tana disagrees with me, but I have a Tanoic opinion on my side as well. What is that? The Tanya. We learned in the following Braisa, it says And goes with Yosef Mishalosh Esrei Taniyos al Tzibur. It says, don't declare more than the 13 Taniyos, the 3, 3, and the 7 on the Tzibur. Why? Because it's too much of a bother for the Tzibur. Now, this is the opinion of Divrei Rebbe. These are the words of Rebbe. And that seems to apply for across the board, even for other types of Paranius. Whereas Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel disagrees with Rebbe and he says, no. Lo min Hashem Uzeh. That's incorrect. It's not a broad restriction that you're not allowed to have more fasts on any type of disaster. Ella. For the rains, if you don't have the tainis beyond 13 tanesim, it's not going to do any good. If you declare a 14 tainis, a 15 tainis, it's not going to help. It's too late for the rains to come. So this din, that ein matrichin esatziba yosem yidai, only applies in this situation to the tanesim for gishomim, for rain. But for other peronius, as we pointed out, misanin v'holchin ad sheyonu min hashamayim. So therefore, this is machlokas between Rabbi, who Rav Ami holds like, and the other opinion, Rabbi Abba's opinion, and the opinion that we brought down from Rav Chiya bar Abba Omer Rav Yochanan, they would hold like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, and that's the Tani Nami Hochi, holds like that as well. Gemara says, Shochle b'nei Ninveh l'Rabbi, the people that lived in Ninveh, Ninveh was a large city, of course, that's the story where the mice of Yonah took place, so Ninveh asked the people, the Jewish people living in Ninveh, asked Rabbi the following Shaina, Shochle b'nei Ninveh l'Rabbi, kiyon anon, people like us, who need rain now, dafilu b'tkufas Tammuz, even in the non-rainy season, in the summer months of Tammuz, Bo'ino mitro, we need rain then, and it was normal to rain then, and not asking for a miracle, but they need the rain, so hechi navid, how do we ask HaKadosh Baruch for rain? Do we say it in the bracha of Barech Oleinu, where normally we say v'sein talim water? Are we allowed to ask for v'sein talim water in the summer months? Or, hechi navid, do we say ki yechidim dimino? No, we're like individuals, and we should only put it into the tefillah of Shomea tefillah. Or, O Kirabim Deminun, or like the publican, when in Eretz Yisrael, they need rains, so they ask for rains, and say, Talamot Levracha. And therefore, we would be allowed to ask for rain. This is a very important Halacha L'maaseh question. If people live in the Southern Hemisphere, so their seasons are different, their seasons are backwards. So when in the Northern Hemisphere, we're asking for rain, it's their dry season. And when we're asking in the dry season, just saying Bracha, that's when they need the rain. So this is a Halacha L'maaseh important question. Do we follow Eretz Yisrael? Or do we follow each locale its own needs in asking the same talam water livracha? So the Gemara explains the question a little bit more. It says, do we say ki yichidim demina anu b'shamei tefila? Do we just insert our individual request for rain for our area in the bracha of shamei tefila when we can ask anything that we want? Or kirabim demina anu b'shamei tefila? Or do we instead say it like an entire tzibur does in Eretz Yisrael, Saint Talamot Levracha, from Zayin Cheshvan and onwards, because we need the rain. The entire tzibur needs the rain. It's not just an individual asking for rain, it's the entire tzibur. And this is Halacha L'maaseh, a question. What do you do in different hemispheres? What do you do in different places when they need rain, and it's not the time to say Saint Talamot Levracha? So this was what the B'nai Ninveh asked the Rebbe, so Sholach Lu, so Rebbe responded to the B'nai Ninveh, and he said, no, only during the season of Eretz Yisrael do we say Saint Talamot Levracha in the Bracha of Borech Oleinu. But the rest of the time, if you need rain, ki yechidim demisu or b'shamei tefila. You're like any individual is allowed to ask for his own personal request in the bracha of shamei tefila. But we don't codify it and say that the entire tzibur should now say v'sein talamot levracha rather than v'sein biracha. Gemara says, wait a second, meisvei. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanna Rabbi Yehuda, objects, and he says, emasai, when is this true that the way Rashi understands this is that the Tanesim start in the month of Kislev. Others understand this over here. Tosos over here in Dibur HaMaskel, Hakol Ufi Hashanim says, Im Tzvichim Oso Shana Gishamim, Shei Shechuna. If that season, they need rain. So it's different than the regular seasons. Im Tzvichim Gishamim Kimnei Ninveh. For example, they need Gishamim in a time when it's not normally the rainy season. So, Shoal in the same Talamotu, the Birchas Hashanim, or not. So that's what Yehuda says. Yehuda says, when do we say Bizman Shashanim Kisikman? If everything is going according to the normal pattern and the rainy season is the rainy season, Bizman Shashanim Kisikman, so everything is normal, so then you say V'sein Talamot Tebracha in the normal place. V'Yisrael Shurin Alamasin, and we're living in Eretz Yisrael, and everything is normal. Abul Bizman Azeh, but he says nowadays when everything is different and people are living in different places, you look at the individual year. Hakol Lufi Hashanim. So Rabbi Yehuda says that you go by what the needs of that locale are. And if they need rain, even though it's the time of the year, like Tkufas Tamas, when you don't normally say Saint Talamot El Racha, he says you're allowed to ask. Hakol Lufi Hashanim, Hakol Lufi Amakomus, Hakol Lufi Asman. You look at the definitive details that are needed in that specific area at that specific time, and that's how you determine what you say in the Shemoneh Esrei. Is that the correct answer? So that's what they asked on Rebbe. So Amalei, so Rebbe said to them, no. Masnisa Ramis Alei de Rebbe. The Gemara says, someone not goes the words Amalei, because it's not Rebbe who's responding. Either it's Tamidim that are responding, or some are just not goers. So the Gemara itself is asking that, are you arguing with Rebbe against Rebbe from another Braisa, Rebbe Yehuda? So Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda Anasi, is allowed to argue with the Tana, Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Tana, who? Upalik, of course, Rebbe's a Tana. How can you prove Rebbe wrong from another Braisa? So it's a machlokas Tanoim. No, how do we paskin then? My Havi Allah. What's the Psak Halacha? So Rav Nachman Amar Bebichas Hashanim. Rav Nachman says, like Rabbi Yehuda, in this Braisa, that you're allowed to go and look at each area, each place in its own time, and you add it into the Bracha, Saint Talamat Levracha, in the Bracha, Birchas Hashanim, in Borech Aleinu. Whereas Rav Sheshes Amar Bishomea Tfila. Rav Sheshes says, no, only during the specific time in Eretz Yisrael when they need the rain, from Zayin Cheshvan and onwards, to Pesach, do we say, B'Saint Talamat Levracha, in the Bracha, Borech Aleinu. The rest of the year, Rav Sheshes says, if you need rain, you say it b'shomei atvila. You insert a private tvila in shomei atvila. You can add b'sein talamot levracha, or you want in shomei atvila. How do we paskin v'ilchus like Rav Sheshes b'shomei atvila? And this is in fact what's brought down in Shulchan Aruch as well, because there are those that disagree and say in the southern hemisphere they should say b'sein talamot in the appropriate time. However, halacha l'maisa, we say that everybody follows Eretz Yisrael in Borech Aleinu, except of course in Chutz Laretz we don't even start saying b'sein talamot until the Kufa of the 60 days, and we start roughly December 5th, sometimes a little bit early, a little bit later, depending on leap years and things like that. So we follow this calendar, and we only start saying Saint Talamato in the 60th day of the Tekufa, like we already had earlier in the Masechta. But we don't say Saint Talamato Livracha in Borech Aleinu at other times of the year. Now we quoted the Mishnah. It said, B'sheni, after the series of seven fasts, so what do they do during those seven fasts? So the people need to eat to break the fast. So B'sheni, on the Monday of the Beis HaBeis fast over here, so Matin Im Chashecha, they would open up the stores a little bit towards Chashecha, towards the evening, so people could all purchase food to break the fast. V'chamishi, however, on Thursday, they would keep the stores open Kol Hayom, Mipnei Kovet Shabbos, in order for the people to be able to buy food for Shabbos. That's the simple reading of the Mishnah, and now the Gemara is going to question, was the reading that I just said the only correct reading, or are there two possibilities over here? So Yibaylu, they ask the following Shaila. Hei Chiktani, read that Mishnah very carefully, and ask what is the correct reading. The Beis Matin, do we say on the Monday, Matin Im Chashecha, we only open up the stores towards the evening, Ubehei, now here, the Marsha adds the word Matin Kol Hayom Ibnei Kovet HaShabbos, and then we say on Thursday, they keep the doors partially opened all day. Matin, they partially open the doors all day, Ibnei Kovet HaShabbos. Is that what it means? Odilma, it means B'sheni Matin, on Monday, to keep it open a little bit, and B'chamishi, they keep it fully open. Poskim Kol Hayom Kulo, they keep it fully open, not matin, but they keep it fully open all day. So there's two ways to read this. Thursday is partially open all day or fully open all day. What did the Mishnah mean? So Toshma, we bring a right from the following Brisa, the Tanya. B'sheni matin on Arab. It says in this Brisa, on Monday, they kept the doors open a little bit of the stores in the evening. However, b'chamishi poskim kol hayom kulo b'pnei kovet Shabbos. On Thursday, they open up all day in the normal way. Business was conducted as normally on Thursday, in order to be covered Shabbos, people should be able to go buy food for Shabbos, as well as to buy food to break the fast. And that Brisa continues and says, Hoylo Shnei Psochim, if the store had two entranceways into the store, so then, Posei Achecha V'Nolecha, they would keep one open and not the other one. There's no reason they're both open to signify over here that it's still a time of Tzara. Hoylo Itzdaba Kineged Pischo, if there was some sort of a kisei, Rashi says, a platform of some sort in front of the doorway, so then the people in the Shusha Rabbah wouldn't see this so much, so then Posei Chedarko V'Nechoshes, then even on Monday, that's the way Rashi understands it, even on Monday, they could keep it open in the regular way, because it wouldn't be so visible in this situation, and you wouldn't have a chashash over here that people are going to think that there's nothing important going on. There are other ways to understand it, that's the simple way that Rashi understands it. Then we quote the Mishnah, it said, Avru Eilu V'lo Nanu Rachmana Litzlan, if this third series of seven fasts has gone by, so now they've had 13 fasts and they weren't answered, so then Mimatin b'masavatam. We don't have any more fasts that are gozer on the tzibur. Mimatin b'masavatam. We try to limit our business to spend more time introspecting and thinking what we're doing wrong. Over binyan uvinatiyam. We don't do construction and we don't do planting. So what does it mean? We don't do construction. We don't do planting. Tana, within the brisa. What does it mean? You don't do binyan. So it means binyan so simcha. You're not allowed to go and make a binyan so simcha, which we'll define in a moment. And natiya, likewise, you're not allowed to go planting natiya so simcha. However, a binyan that's not a binyan so simcha, natiya that's not a natiya so simcha, that is permitted to be done. Now the Gemara defines, what does it mean, a binyan shel simcha? Ezeh hu binyan shel simcha, ze'aboneh beis chasnus livno. That's when a person goes and builds a house for his son, a beis chasnus. They used to have like a wedding room for their son that they ended up living in after the wedding. So that's a beis simcha. So that you're not allowed to do. And what's an example of netiya shel simcha, a planting of simcha? Ezeh hu netiya shel simcha, ze'anoteya abarniki shel melochim. This is when you plant a tree of melochim. Rashi explains what's in a barnaki. So he gives two explanations. Shikachiyu nogin, this was the custom. Kishinolad ben lemelech, when there was a prince born to the king, hayunotin ilon lishmo, they would plant the tree specifically in his name. And then, v'yom shimamlichin oso, when he would become the new king, so then, osilo kisimimeno, they would go cut this tree down and make a chair for him, a throne for him from this wood. That's the first version that Rashi gives us. Lishtachrin, the second version is Ilan Gadol Hamesech Aloris. This was a large tree with lots of branches and leaves that would provide great shade. Let Pile Amelech Taktav, and the king could go and spatzir. He could walk around underneath this big, big tree. It's a nice place for him to take a spatzir, take a little walk and a stroll in the shade. The Domlo Be'erin, where an Erevin has a whole discussion there. How Avarnika, the Adalela Reish Kalusa, Babustane. So they talk there about, could this be a separate area of itself? Could this be an area that's considered enclosed if the branches and the leaves go within three tefachim of the ground? So they talk about that over there. In any event, that's what this Aburniki is. So that's called a Netiya Shel Simcha, that you wouldn't be allowed to do during this period of the seven fast as well. Then we quote the Mishnah. It also said, Ubisheila Sholom, that you're not allowed to go and say hello to your friends during this period of time, similar to what we have on Tisha B'Av. You don't say hello to somebody. So the Brisa says, "Tanu Rabbanon, the Chaverim, the Tamidei Chachamim, Ein Sheila Shalom Inem." So they know, you know, you don't say hello to somebody. So you walk by a Talmud Chacham on Tisha B'Av and he doesn't say hello to you. You're not upset with him. He knows you're not supposed to say shalom, and you know he's not supposed to say shalom, so there's no problem. However, when you're amongst Amoratzim, and the Amoratzim don't know, so the Amoratz goes up to you and says, "Hello, how are you, Rabbi Yid?" So Amoratz, Shalom, they come up to you and say hello, Machzirim them. You're not supposed to ignore them. You're not supposed to cause fights, Rachmona Litzlan. So you're allowed to answer them, Besofa Rofa, with a very, very quiet tone, or Bechovid Rosh, and in a very dignified manner. In other words, you don't say, "Hey, I'm doing fine, how are you?" So you say, "I'm fine." You do it in a very soft way and in a solemn type of a way. And in addition, they misatvin. They go and put their talesim over their heads. They wear a hat, so to say. They're covered up, similar to the din of avelus. The yoshim kavelin, and they sit like a person who's in an avel, or chimenudin, like a person who is in nidoy, in excommunication. Because we're supposed to consider ourselves like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mad at us, because that's why he's not bringing the rain. And therefore, we're in need of it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we are exhibiting and demonstrating these hachna, this subordination to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, until Be'ezus Hashem, Achi Yirachamu Aleim Min HaShemayim, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu has mercy on us and brings the rain. Amar Rilazah, Rilazah says, Ein Adam Choshev Rashali Pala Ponov, Elum Keinane Kyoshua Benun. A person should not go and fully bow down, lie down fully, prostrate himself totally on the ground, unless he's guaranteed that he's going to be answered, just like Yeshua Benun, when he bowed down in this fashion, fully bowed down, so he was answered, so then you're allowed to do this. If you're so certain that Hashem will answer you like Yeshua Benun was answered, you'd be allowed to do this. Otherwise, don't do this, because people will either make fun of you and say you're not a Talmud Chacham, or they'll say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't answer the Talmidei Chacham if they believe that you really are a Talmud Chacham. So therefore, don't do this in public, that you should be bowing down, lipa lapana, fully on your face, unless you're certain you're going to be answered. How do we know that Yeshua was answered? Shenema, because the Pasuk in Yeshua tells us, Bayom HaShem Yeshua, Kum Lach, get up. Why are you still lying down? In other words, I've answered your tefillah, now you can get up. So therefore, if you're certain, like Yeshua ben Nun was certain he would be answered, then you can bow down in that fashion. Otherwise, don't. Gamar Elazar, another statement that Elazar made, he makes three statements. This is the second one. Ein adam choshev rashi lachkor sak. A very choshev person shouldn't put on a sackcloth. He shouldn't wear sack of mourning unless he's certain that he's going to be answered. Elam kei nane ki horam ben achav. Yom Menachem was a Rasha, but at the same time, he did believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said that this famine comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu did answer him. And when he put on the sackcloth, the people saw it, and then there was no longer a famine, and all of a sudden, the food was much less expensive. So if you're as certain as Yehoram ben Achav was that he would be answered, so then you're allowed to go wear sackcloth. Otherwise, again, people are going to say you're not much of a Talmud Chacham that you're not answered, or they're going to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't answer even the Talmid Chacham. So it leads to a Chil Hashem. So therefore, don't do this unless you're certain you'll be answered. And where do we see by Yehoram ben Achav that he was answered? Shenemar, as the Pasuk says in Melachim Beis, Vahik Yishma HaMelech Hasdivri Yisha. He heard the terrible machlokas that the two of them were having, that they had made a horrible, horrible agreement that tonight we'll eat your son and tomorrow we'll eat my son. And now it was the second night. And he said, you're not giving me your son to eat. So when he heard how terrible, tragic things were, Vayikra is Bigodov, so he tore his garments, blew over Alachomer, and he publicly went on top of the wall. Vayara Om, and everybody saw him, Minei Asak Al Besar over Gomer, and he was wearing sackcloth. And therefore, when the people saw this, they all did tshuva, and he was answered. So if you're certain that you'll be answered, like Yehoram ben Achav was answered, then you can wear sackcloth. Otherwise, don't. Third thing the Rebbe Elazar says, Yom Rolazar, Lo Akol B'Kriya, V'lo Akol B'Nefila. Not everybody's going to be answered by doing just Kriya. Some people will be answered by Kriya alone, but some people will also have to do Nefila, and some people won't even be answered by Nefila. So he gives examples. Moshe, the Aaron, the Nefila. They were answered by just doing Nefila, as we see in the Pasuk. But Yoshua, the Kaleh, they required, we'll see, some suggest they required both Nefila and Kriya. Yeshua, the Kaleh, be Kriya. Where do we find this? It says by Moshe, the Aaron, the Nefila. They were answered by just Nefila. The Pasuk says in Bamidbar, by Yepol Moshe V'Aaron al Pneim, they just fell down on their faces and immediately HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered them. Whereas by Yeshua V'Kalev, it says that it required Kriya. Some say also Kriya. D'chsev, the pasuk says Yeshua Ben Nun V'Kalev Ben Yefuneh. Again, we're leaving out some words over here. Min Hatorim Es Ha'aretz, they were amongst the spies that went to Eretz Yisrael. Karu Bigdeim, they tore their garments. So you see, by Yeshua and Kalev, they required Kriya. Whereas by Moshe and Aaron, they just required Nefila. Either Rav Zeira or Rav Shmuel Ben Achmeni asks them and says, wait a second, if the Pasuk had just said, Yehoshua, Yeshua ben Nun v'Kaleh ben Yefuneh, without the Vav, so then your taka would be right. But now that it says, Hashda v'ksiv, the Yehoshua, that's a Vav hachibur. So it seems to be connecting Yehoshua and Kaleh to the previous Pasuk. So how can you tell me that they didn't do Nefila, that they just did Kriya? So the Gemara says, Yataka right, ha, v'ha, ovi. In fact, Yoshua and Kalev did both Nefila and Kriya. Now, the Mepharshim point out that Yoshua at this time was still a Talmud to Moshe and Aaron. When Yoshua became the leader of Klai Yisrael, then he just did Nefila as well, and he was answered. But here, since he was not under the Madrega of Moshe and Aaron, so then he had to do both Nefila and Kriya. Another member from Rebbe Elazar, a fourth member, beyond Rebbe Elazar, lo akol b'kima, v'lo akol b'shtach avoya, imitz Hashem b'mher v'yameinu, when Mashiach comes, and all the nations of the world are going to greet us, and greet us with Mashiach. So it says, not all of them will be standing, and not all of them will be bowed down. Lo akol b'kima, v'lo akol b'shtach avoya. Who's going to be Bekima? Malachim Bekima, the kings of the world will be standing, v'sarim, but the officers will be bowed down, b'shtach avoya. Now, where do we see this from? So these are psukim from Yeshaya. And it says, Melochim Bekima. It says over there, the pasuk, Tirsiv. And we'll see at the end of the pasuk, it says, Vesarim Bishnach Havoya. So it says, Melochim Bekima, Tirsiv, Goel Yisrael Kidosho. And we turn to Tesvav Amad Aleph, towards the end of the perek. Livzo Nefesh, Limisoiv Goy, Li Eved, Moshlim Melochim Yiruv Kamu. The kings will see and they will stand. And then the end of the pasuk it says, "Sarim v'yishtachavu," and that's what the Gemara says. "V'sarim v'yishtachavaya," we see that the sarim will be bowed down. They'll say, "Sarim v'yishtachavu." The sarim, the elite of the country, they will be bowed down. Now, this is again seeming to tell us there's no vav over here. It says, "Sarim v'yishtachavu." So the Gemara says, "Maskev lo Rabbi Zeira," or again, "V'item Rav Shmuel Ben Achmeni." Same people as before, either Zeira or Rav Shmuel Ben Achmeni said, "You would be 100% right." You have exiv this sarim yishtachavu kidekarmis. Then you would be right. The sarim are just bowing down, but not standing there. However, it doesn't say that. Hash the exiv. It doesn't have a vav achibur. It says sarim yishtachavu. The sarim will bow down, but ha the ha of it. They will also stand up, and they will also bow down. So lav dafka does this imply over here that they're just bowing down, they could also be standing. Finally, we have the end of the first perek with the following statement. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, Af ani omer, I say the same idea. Lo akol le'ora, the lo akol le'simcha. Not everybody, when Mashiach comes in Herab Yemenu, will be zocha to ora and simcha. Some people will have ora, and some people will have simcha. Tzadikim will get le'ora, but the Yesharim, they will get le'simcha. Rashi explains that the tzadikim are less than the Yesharim. Rashi says, Yesharim adife metzadikim. The Yesharim are greater than the tzadikim, whereas not everybody agrees with that. The Rashba says the opposite. He says the tzadik is greater than the yosher. In any event, the tzadikim will be zocha to the ora, and the yesharim will be zocha to the simcha. Where do we see this? Tzadikim liyora tichsib, because the pasuk tells us in Tehillim, or zerul atzadik ulishrei simcha. That famous pasuk that we recite on the night of Yom Kippur during Kol Nidre. So we say, or zerul atzadik. That tells us that the tzadikim will be zocha to or to ora to light. Yesharim, they'll have simcha d'chsev ul yishrelev simcha. Those that are Yesharim, the yishrelev, they will be zoche to simcha. So a great reward awaits those that are tzadikim and those that are Yesharim. Again, a machlokes Rashi in the Rashba as to which one is greater. With this, we conclude the beautiful first perek of Masechta Tainis. Hadron Alecha Me'emesai, Hadron Alecha Me'emesai, Hadron Alecha Me'emesai. Yitz Hashem, tomorrow we'll start the second perek. With this, we conclude today's shir.